you know, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year. So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Think about that. The most Grammys, never won Album of the Year. That doesn't work. You know, some of you gonna go home tonight and feel like you've been robbed. Some of you may get robbed. Some of you don't belong in a category. All right, no, that was it. No, when I get nervous, I tell the truth.
And welcome back to the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
your favorite, the Culture Scientist.
You got the abbreviated one, like they mid-season, like season two, where they don't have enough budget for the whole theme song.
I answered. What are you talking about?
Fair enough. And here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2024. And peoples, I don't know about you, but it is Black History Month and niggas is wilding already. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but we're just grateful for you guys tuning in for this episode. We got some really good information coming up, so just kind of lock in with us. Get you a nice little beverage, a nice little snack. Get you some donations.
We need donations.
Oh, we definitely need donations. We need funds.
Money, money, money.
Dollar bills.
Okay, I'm done.
Why, you just gonna leave me hanging? You don't need the money we ain't asking for like we used to? Wow, that's crazy. All right. Where were we? I've got full off track already and we're not even 2 minutes into the episode. All right, so here we go. We're gonna go ahead and get into our host. We got us, and then you got, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the man who just put the Konami code in on his chest, on his shirt, himself, Mr. Smith. Introduce yourself.
Left, right, left, right. Up, down, B, A, start. For those that know, they know. Anywho, it's your favorite Fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Number two, it is Black History Month. So people, we, you know, don't try to wild out for the 28/29 days since this year is a leap year. Let us enjoy our time. And then number three, I need folks to really, and I'm going to get more into this in my sports center, but I'm going to need white folks to really stop trying to appropriate everything. Like, it's very, very old. And we just, yeah, stop it. Get some help.
It's just a lot of sigh and heaving. Just a lot of sigh and heaving, man. But yeah, man, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this first part, which is the mental health check, where we kind of check and see where everybody's mentals are at. We're going to go ahead and start with the Culture Scientist.
I'm trying to be productive.
For what?
Productive.
Can you spell that?
I want to.
Can I get a language of origin?
Tia.
What year was it created?
It's a mirror.
That's not a year, but okay.
I was answering the origin still.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't give you enough time. Can you use it in a sentence?
I am being productive.
So besides that, how is your mentor? Just trying to be productive?
Again, taking it day by day. It's, you know, it's Black History Month. By the time y'all hear this, it'll be Love Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a fun day. Hope everybody has a good time that day.
And if you aren't having a love day on next week,
love on yourself.
I don't know if we can say that without a full-on sponsor.
Well, I don't really mean like.
Like what?
I don't mean in a sexual way.
Fair enough.
I mean, just, you know, it's very important. You can't really love other people if you don't really love yourself first, because you don't really have any love to give.
Okay, I see you there. You get the snaps, you get the little,
So, So that's what I'm practicing, is loving myself in all the shapes and forms of where I'm at in my life. And I think I started my week off good because we had a ladies' night with my crew, with my college girls, and we're trying to do that monthly. So it was really cool.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Mrs. Smith, how are you doing?
Oh, wait, wait, wait,
Oh, I'm
wait.
sorry.
One
Go
more
ahead.
thing.
Yes, yes,
And we
yes.
had an acronym. So, of course, my one friend, she can't help herself but be a teacher and a planner. So we had a list of things we were supposed to do. One was an acronym for women. And the acronym I came up with after letting other people do theirs first and me figuring out what mine was going to be.
So you copy their homework?
I didn't copy their homework.
Did you
I
use any
let
of what they said?
no. No, I had already wrote open for your information for open. And then the other one of them said opening. Okay. Anyways, that was the whole point. We're supposed to assist each other. We're a sisterhood. Anyways, mine was woman. No, for woman, it was womb, open. What was my M? Management. And then my E was enrichment. And my N was neurons because I'm a nerd.
Interesting. That's interesting.
That's what we came up with. I feel like that was my M. I might be wrong, but I feel like it was management because I was also trying to manage just like things in general.
And if you're on that call, just chime in, hit us up on socials to remind us and let us know whether or not the cultural scientist was correct in her word or not.
And some of theirs was like bow, bow, bow. Okay.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, Mrs. Smith, how are you doing?
Truth is, I'm tired.
Hey,
What?
on repeat.
Wedding planning is the blues.
Yes.
This shit is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I need a vacation. No, I honestly, I just, my last couple of weeks or months, honestly, I lose track of time at this point. It's literally just been wedding planning, organizing things, setting up payment plans, rinse, repeat. Oh, sorry. Wedding planning, organizing, setting up payment plans, eat, sleep, rinse, repeat. That's my life. And work. Throw work in there. I think there was a time, I think maybe it was yesterday, where I just kind of was like, I was just ready to throw everything at the wall because I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want this to be over. I just want this to be done. The work has been picking up. I'm pretty much on three different teams doing three different responsibilities as well as thinking about this other stuff. I'm just like, yo, I like East, and again, I will not, I will try to still see the joy in the journey because I'm not, even though I want the destination, I know that this is the only time I'm going to do this. So I'm trying to find the joy in doing it with my person. But there are times, and granted, I can't lie, Teacher Bay has felt this too, where that line from Insecure, where Issa Rae says, I just want to fast forward to the part where everything is okay. Nigga,
Oh.
I am feeling that. But we got a venue, we have a date, we have photographer lined up, so we're kind of working, we're ahead of schedule, trying to do everything that we can to, line the things up, get everything in order, pay it down, and still trying to live, outside of that, a nigga just been gaming and working out. That's pretty much all I do these days. I don't spend no money, I don't go out, I legit either play Call of Duty, a story-based game, I work out, or I'm watching TV with Teacher Bay, whether it's Mindy Project or Abbott, which shout out by the as of the time of this recording, Abbott is coming back while we're recording. So you guys will hear it. When you guys hear this episode, it'll be episode three of Abbott, because it's technically a two-parter the night that we're recording, but we'll probably be knee-deep in that. And yeah, outside of that, again, by the time you're hearing this, it'll be Love Day, Valentine's Day. Love on your peoples, have your galentines, have your person. I'm sorry, I like to call it cuffing season Super Bowl or cuffing season probate. And I want to see who's the ace of your line, who's the tail of your line, who is the rock. Did you make it? Are you going to free agency?
About so you also see who got dropped from the line.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
You also find out who's gonna come out late on the probate on the 15th. They're academically ineligible.
Damn. Damn. Well, if they had that Konami code, they wouldn't have to worry about that. But I'm gonna drink my protein.
Well, honestly, for me, my mental health check, I would say that I'm in an interesting place, man. I think at different points through the school year, I go through these phases and these ebbs and flows of where, as a teacher, you kind of reflect and you're like, man, I love having impact in the relationships that I'm building with these students, but the real challenges and the frustration of the state of education in the United States just kind of makes you like, I want to give, but at what point can I give when I don't have anything to give for myself? I can't just keep pouring from an empty pitcher.
If you ain't got no love to give,
What's the rest of the song?
you can't give. If you don't love any love, you can't keep giving, like you said, from an empty cup.
Okay. Snap, 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 snap. But yeah, no, I really just am in a state where I'm like, I'm doing some deliberating, doing some consideration, and I mean, obviously, part of it is that I not only consider what I'm doing, but how does it affect the cultural sciences and I as a unit, and wanting to make sure that I don't put us and what we've built together in these 7 years, seven, yes, seven, eight, seven.
Eight.
We'll be eight in September. Yeah. So 8 years of being together, where I want to make sure we continue to build on that foundation and still do for me, but also be considerate in the process, if that all makes sense. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Otherwise, everything else is pretty much the same. We've done a pretty awesome job with getting our house fully set up the way we kind of wanted it. There's still things where we're like, oh, well, we could do this, or we could add that. And it's just like, I'm learning to embrace not just worrying about, well, what if this happens? Or what if they say that we can't do this in the house? And I think it really kind of speaks to something that I learned that even with my first place is that I got so used to, even before living on my own, where it's like, I never set roots down in a place long enough. Where it's like, okay, I can really just stretch myself out and allow all the things that I've accumulated to kind of be out there.
And I'm the opposite. I don't believe in the empty places. It's just not me. I need everything to be on display. Need my brain on display.
So I
You got
mean,
family and love on display. I'm done.
so it is just one of those things. And I mean, without getting too deep into it, I know there's some deep-rooted things that I've kind of self-reflected on, but I mean, it's just one of the things that I'm learning to enjoy more and more. But yeah, that's just where I'm at mentally. But without further ado, you know what time it is. I think it's gonna be pretty short. But Mrs. Smith, play the music.
So, of course, listeners, we had to record this early because we are human, and the time that we usually record would be Valentine's Day. And I'm pretty sure I can speak for culture scientists and teacher bait that they probably would kill us if we tried to record on a day that we're supposed to be with our person. So of course we don't we will not at this as of the time of this recording, the Super Bowl has not happened yet. We won't know who won. I hope San Fran wins just because, the Kansas City Chiefs kicked us out of the AFC Championship and took away our chance to get a Super Bowl, but that's either here nor there. The thing that I honestly want to talk about isn't really sports related. It is, but it isn't. White people, specifically y'all, I need y'all to come to the front. I need y'all to sit in these 10, 12 seats. I need y'all to listen very closely, okay? Stop appropriating black stuff to y'all and saying that it's the new trend. If you don't know what I'm talking about, allow me to elaborate. As of the course of once Kansas City won the AFC championship, of course, all the media was on the whole Travis Kelce versus and Taylor Swift relationship. All right.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I think culture scientist speaks for all black people. We're like we if I may quote Stephen A. Smith.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you
We
something.
don't care.
We do not
But
care.
one of the things that came up recently was the fact that I believe it was the New York Times, don't quote me, but
Yep,
they
the
attribute
New York Times.
New York Times. They attributed Travis Kelce as signifying that the fade is his hairstyle, inappropriate to say if you're going to get a fade, you're getting the Travis Kelce.
Who gave you the right, the permission, the audacity?
If you don't get that bullshit out of my face, bitch.
Excuse me?
Okay, New York Times. I understand that you have a lot. You don't have a lot of diversity and inclusion in your stuff. But let me let you in on something, my nigga. I've been getting a fade since I was three, and for the record, I was born in '87. That means that I've been getting a fade since 1990. So, how in the immortal hell is a white man who is, I'll say he's probably about 28, I'll have to look up his age, he is the reason for the fade? Like, Jay-Z had a fade in the 80s. Okay. A lot of people, Kid and Play, they had high top fades. House
Yeah.
Party 1, 2, 3, Kid had the little twisting, but that's the size point. So I'm trying to understand, why do y'all do this when it comes to appropriation? You did this with Kim K last time, where you said that, oh, she invented the box braids. I'm like, my nigga, they've been doing that in Africa for centuries. What the
Right.
hell are you talking about? Right? Those that have locks like dirt, which I'm gonna be Brother X's angry translator on this one. White people, stop getting locks. It looks disgusting. It looks dirty. You don't look kept well. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
You look like your dog.
And smell like it too. So I'm trying to understand, like, what is the fascination of you guys? Like, it would be one thing if there was not that much information out about it, but there's this thing that we have that our parents, grandparents, and other people didn't have back then. It's called the internet. And you can learn a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. You want to know what else we have that they didn't have? Cell phones with internet access. How many of y'all have iPhones? How many of y'all have Androids? How many of y'all just have, hey, hell, even Cricket sometimes be having that stuff. You can find out how far back the fade goes. So why is it that y'all decided, oh, you know, we're gonna get the story out and we're gonna say to Travis Kelce, like, and I'm not even mad at Travis Kelce because he ended up defending himself at the Super Bowl opening presser. He's like, y'all gonna do that to me on the first day of Black History Month? Really? No, I don't take credit for that. No, y'all not about to. Y'all just threw me to the wolves.
He didn't want to get canceled.
He was like, no, nah, I already got enough heat on me right now. Can't do it. It's not in the
And
stars.
because then they also sent somebody else talk about the new fad for what the swag surf too.
Yes.
I was getting ready to get to that in a second. So I'm trying to understand, like, what is y'all's fascination of learning something and then not doing your research to see where it originated from? Because it'd be different if, like, you know, when y'all started talking about, oh, cornrows is a new thing, and we're like, y'all do know that black people did cornrows for patterns of how to get away from slaves and a map. Learn your history. But I'm just trying to understand why. Like, why? What is the purpose of this? Are you doing this just because you can? Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, it would be one thing if we couldn't debunk it, but we literally could debunk it in 15 seconds. So why are you doing this? And two culture scientists point to jump to my last point. You guys, and we kind of touched on this last week, you guys appropriated the swag surf saying it's the new viral trend. People, the Swag Surf came out in February of 2009. How do I know this? Because I swag surfed at my damn graduation. Like, I'm not kidding you. We literally did a swag surf between ceremonies one and two, because the first ceremony is the big one with all the majors, and then the second one is depending on your school. And I was school of science, so I had to be in that hot ass stadium. But we swag surfed after we donned our hoods. Like, that's been out for at least 10, a decade plus.
Least. And I
And
did it at Dreamville last year. Okay.
phenomenal, phenomenal.
Yeah. We did it at Culture Scientist and Brother X's wedding. We
Yes.
have done it at every homecoming, every tailgate. If you go to any HBCU, I swear to you, there will be a swag surf. Listen, if you want to see a swag surf for real, go to I can't remember the handle for Instagram, but I think it's like HBCU Buzz or something like that. Well, they might have reposted it. There's a video I took of the student center where it looks like a sea of people doing the swag surf. Like, I shit you not. It literally looks like it's a sea of people. And you're like, ha, that is a swag surf. You want to know what them white people did? Them white people did a swag paddleboard. That's what that
A
was. Because,
boogie board is what they
yeah,
did.
boogie board. There was no rhythm. There, I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. Even as us black people, we have to tell ourselves, all right, we're gonna go left to right. There's someone that organizes that. That thing was so uncultured and unseasoned. I had to turn the TV off when I saw that. And I'm like, okay, I understand that the swag surf is gonna hit major circles, but what I do not want to see is unseasoned people with no rhythm doing it, because that is just, it hurts. It hurt as a black person, and black people, you understand this. It's really hard to do something without doing it with no rhythm. Like, we have to force ourselves to try to do something with no rhythm. White people do it all the time. So when you see that swag surf, you're like, okay, we're going left to right. And you're just like, wait, which way are they going? Wait, did the beat drop? Wait, what's like, it was so much happening. And I'm just trying to tell y'all, look, instead of y'all just appropriating, saying, oh yeah, we got the new viral thing, how about you actually just talk to a black person and see if you can learn how to do it? See if you can get the seasoning recipe. See if you make sure you don't put raisins in a potato salad. Because that's what that swag surf was. Raisins in a goddamn potato salad. So, I don't care about this Super Bowl. Usher's going to be performing. So, Teacher Bae's going to go crazy in our living room. Hey, it is what it is. Long as he pays his bills in the first of the month, I don't care. And then, as of the time, my Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star Weekend, will be the following weekend. Whoever's listening, if y'all have my information, y'all my contact information, you call me in the middle of that or whatever, I actually will drive out and hurt you. Brother X already knows this. Pretty much all of my close friends that know me know this. If you can't, unless it is a message like, oh, did you see that? If you try to talk to me in the middle of the dunk contest, the celebrity game, the 3-point contest, the skills challenge, I will go out and fight you. And I'm not gonna play fair. I'm hitting you in the throat, then I'm hitting you in both kneecaps, and I'm gonna break you down in sections. So play with me if you want to. But outside of that, that's pretty much all for SportsCenter. Again, we don't really have a lot because this is kind of the way. Oh, Pro Bowl, bruh, let it go. It's dead. You need to take it out back and shoot it. Because I didn't even watch majority of it, but even the ones parts I did watch, I'm like, at a certain point, I looked at my phone and it said Pro Bowl's going to the fourth quarter. The score is like 58-55. I said, how the fuck did we get here? And then I realized, oh, y'all got mini games in between. Yeah. You know what? I'm just gonna watch the Sean Taylor highlight where he boomstick that punter, and I'm just gonna leave it at
Oh my God, that
that.
shit gives me trauma.
And that punter ain't gonna run that fake no more.
Oh no, not at
But
all.
if you have any other questions, comments, or want to learn more about the NFL, hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube and his Instagram. His links will be in the description. But then
Plenty of the music. All right, listeners, now we get into your favorite segment of the podcast where we do Now Mind You. Now Mind You is a part of the podcast where we talk about things we found on the internet, the shade room, on television, at some people's houses when we're not supposed to know what their business is. But we tell it to you in the black vernacular where we use the term, now mind you, to give you the key and vital parts of said story. This first one isn't really necessarily a story as in high niggotry afoot.
Like why?
Like legitimately why? So we can't play the audio for it, but basically I'm going to give you a little play by play. So Shawty is preparing pickles, I believe, where she's chopping up and dicing them into portions to put them into a big jar. Okay, if you're from the South in certain areas, you understand that people would do Kool-Aid with the pickles. That's one thing.
Apparently,
yes, in certain parts. I want to say like in Texas and like really deep southern parts. But basically, after she does that, she pours in what looks like maybe like a quarter, maybe not even a quarter, maybe like half a bottle of Hennessy. The niggas kryptonite. And literally from there, she then pours in three packets of green apple Kool-Aid. First and foremost, I don't know why I said green apple. We all know it's just green.
Wait, technically, because there is lime, so you have to be specific. It's not like red, where we all know cherry is red. You either say red or you say strawberry, but you don't say strawberry is not considered red. But in green, I would technically know it as lime, but green apple, you kind of do have to specify that, because not many people do green apple Kool-Aid.
Fair enough.
This is right.
But then on top of that, if that wasn't enough niggotry, she poured a bowl, like a cereal bowl of sugar into the concoction and mix it up. Listeners, I ain't never, well, first and foremost, I'm not a big fan of pickles. Culture scientists will tell you, I don't really like pickles.
I love pickles, but they're disrespectful.
This is just nasty. Like, this shit look like you about to boo-boo the fool.
They legit peeled these bitches.
Like, you really wanted to feel like, dog, your stomach gonna sound like niggas beatboxing back in the 80s.
Thought I had acid reflux now. Listen.
Man, I promise you, your stomach gonna be tore up seven ways to Sunday. Mrs. Smith, do you have any thoughts?
I'm just trying to understand what were you going for? Because Hennessy as a drink itself is already too much. Like, as a full disclosure, unless I'm trying to do like a Henny and Coke or actually, I wouldn't even do a Henny and Coke. I probably would just do Jack and Coke. But pickles is already have a sour taste. Then you're putting Hennessy on top of it, right? And then you're putting green apple Kool-Aid packets, three of them, with no water. So you can't balance it out. And then you put sugar on it. No, this just sounds like that meme of homeboy who's in the bathroom, butt-ass naked, closing his hands into his head, talking about, Jesus, Lord, why, Jesus? Why? Like, get me through these demons. Get these demons out of me. Like, that's what that looks like. That's going to happen. And I'm just trying to figure out how bored do you have to be to say, you know what? I wonder what would go. You know what I think will go good together? Pickles and Hennessy. And let's throw some Kool-Aid to add some razzle-dazzle. Who the fuck came up with that? That is just nasty. And I'm not saying, now I have heard of those that have dipped their pickles in like, you know, some type of concoction from the South. That's different because it's not marinating together. So maybe you might have like that sour taste. You just need a quick hit and that's it. Cool. But you have Hennessy marinating in the pickles. That is disgusting. So yeah, I just absolutely not. I would just say, my stomach is going to be bubbling if I was to see that.
Yeah. So I mean that's just the first thing, which is like, it is crazy that people do this. But to each their own, man. But if I see this when I roll up in your house and you got this, I am turning the fuck back around because ain't no way we're going to have that at any function. If I see this at our Super Bowl partying
event, get out my house.
I'm kicking you the fuck out. And you already know one person we know would probably do something like this. You know he would. We're not going to say his name. We're not going to put him out there, Cousin Simba. But yeah. Huh? What happened? What was that look for? What I do?
Oh, look, a free iPad. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, moving on. Oh, look.
Somebody has joined.
How about I say someone came through the back door of the house, try to come in late, try to sneak in. If we're using the classroom reference, you try to sit in the back of the classroom when the lecture's already going on. But don't worry, I'm not going to call you out or anything or not be on time or whatnot. But, oh, look, it is Teacher Bay. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, listeners.
No, I'm about to say, no, speak into the mic now. Don't do that.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I've been busy lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Black History Month.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have that parent-teacher conference later. All right. let's go ahead and get into the next story. All right. So this one is a doozy. Now, speaking of things you can find at certain stores, a Target employee who killed coworker for eating his lunch has been sentenced to 100 years. Let me say that again, listeners. 100 years. A hundo. Honey. Big C note, if I'm saying it correctly. If I said it wrong, I don't really care. All right. The Virginia man who killed his coworker for stealing and eating his lunch out of their Target work refrigerator has been sentenced to 100 years in prison. Bazin Behi, 25 years old, received the 100-year sentence with 30 years suspended, meaning that he will serve 70 of active incarceration in the via the Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney, who confirmed it on Tuesday. The person being charged, he was charged with first-degree murder after he beat and stabbed his co-worker, Hernan Livia Olava, 58 years old, to death in the parking lot of the Target in Bailey's Cross on April 17, 2021. So this is a while ago. That is wild. After his lunch, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, so the person who's being charged was upset that the person who ate his lunch, who worked as a janitor at the retail store, had taken his lunch from the office refrigerator 3 days prior, the prosecutor claimed. After his lunch was stolen, the prosecutor said that the person being charged started planning to kill his coworker. 2 days before the crime, he purchased a hammer and two knives from Target. So didn't nobody just know? Because I'm sure he said, yo, where the fuck is my food? And nobody was just like, oh, that's not crazy that he bought a hammer and two knives. And they just so happen to be on the same ship together. Okay, we'll come back to that.
So these like kitchen knives, or were these like knives that you get from like, I don't know, like hardware?
All the same, they gonna stab regardless.
I'm just curious, because how do you only pick up two knives?
Do you need more than
I
one?
I know, like, you go to Dollar Tree, you can probably like buy individual knives.
Well, my question is, how much stabbing are you planning to do that you need two knives? Are you worried one's gonna break? Like, you gonna double hand it?
Great question.
Like, he wanted to turn into what's the boy, Deadpool? Go chop, trying to do hibachi with the man.
He got the knives, and he got what else?
And a hammer.
Yeah, so like, what was the hammer like?
He
don't have three hands.
Like, the amount of thinking, like, he really had to plan this shit out. Like, he was watching
tape two.
Maybe he thought of, like, maybe he's going to have to chop up the body.
Like, the hammer on one side. And then
like he probably watched the Jeffrey Dahmer documentary or show on Netflix.
He's no Edward.
He's not in those scissor hands.
He's not.
He's really not. All right, let me get back to this. All right. All right, the next day, he admitted to training to murder the victim.
Again, back to you're not no Edward.
Like, what? Training? Then on the morning of April 17th, the person being charged arrived at the employee's parking lot early and waited for the victim to arrive. When he did, the offender stabbed and bludgeoned him to death, then left the scene, Fox News reported.
Okay, so he chose to use the hammer and not the knives?
Oh, no, he did both.
Oh, okay.
So he bludgeoned him and stabbed him. So, like, I don't, like, did you think, I'm really trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Those are my questions.
And then, of course, the man confessed to the killing immediately and pleaded guilty late last year to first-degree murder. There's a quote that says that this person's unnecessary and tragic death leaves behind a grieving family and community, one that will never be the same after such a senseless act of violence. The Commonwealth Attorney Steve DeSant, I cannot talk today. I apologize, listeners. In this case, because of the unique and self-proclaimed danger the defendant
continues to pose to the community. Today's sentence was a necessary outcome for maintaining public peace. So listeners, first and foremost, I don't know about y'all, but when you work with coworkers, there's a reason why I have my own refrigerator at work. Because let somebody go into the refrigerator, eat my food that I have cooked and brought to work. I promise you, Jesus and all 12 of his disciples gonna have to stop me. Because that shit is crazy. Code of Scientists, have you ever had that happen to you before? Someone eat your lunch at work? No? Not at all?
Not at
all. Okay. What about you, Mr. Smith, Teacher Bay?
No, mainly because a lot of stuff that I eat, they wouldn't touch because the times that I used to put my, at least, I know that I didn't take my lunch at the first project I worked at. Or I did, but I always keep it with me. Didn't have to go in the refrigerator. The second project I was in, I worked on, I put my lunch in the refrigerator, but don't nobody touch my tilapia or anything like that. I don't think they wanted to open that thing and smell it. I'm like, yeah, keep my shit out your hands, bro.
That was your motivation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, getting healthy too.
Keep my shit out your mouth is what you wanted to tell them.
Yeah, but then of course I'm like, not touching that.
Teacher Barry, does that ever happen to you?
That has never happened to me. But I mean, I have had someone throw my food out.
Oh.
Because I didn't write my name on it. Mm. And so they just thought it was been in there for a minute. And I said, no, that was my leftovers. Them wings were gonna be real good from America's Best Wings.
Oh, and yeah. No,
they
I know
just
you heard.
Threw it out.
I know you was hurt.
Oh, listeners.
Not my lemon pepper.
Listeners. She was ready to it was about to be war zone in
the house. Asked the entire school, has anybody seen chicken that was in this container?
Like you just had a couple of wings just flying through the school.
I sat it down because But the receptionist, I got down to it. The receptionist said, I asked everybody and nobody said anything, so we threw it away. I said, but you didn't ask me.
And exactly.
I missed out on my food.
That's all right. She's still got a Falcon Punch coming to her, but we ain't going to talk about that.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. We here on the Transparency Podcast do not promote violence unless it is deemed necessary. But, we are talking to America's Best Wings. We are accepting wings. Seasoned food.
I like drumsticks.
I like flats.
I like them both.
I like lemon pepper.
Me too. So, donations.
Honey lemon pepper. We like Cajun.
We will take sponsorships. We will take 100% off discounts.
You gotta say it louder, girl.
You gotta speak what you want.
I like Cajun, honey hot, honey lemon pepper, just regular lemon pepper, the French fries. I mean, go ahead and give us the drink too. Just make it a combo.
Right. We made sure to talk about you.
Yeah, I promise you. I promise you, they'd be sick of us. You will hear it at the beginning of every episode. The Truth and Transparency Podcast brought to you by America's Best Wings. Damn, that shit is freaking looking good.
Real good.
But I promise you, I won't say I was cooning it up, but not I won't say during Black History Month, but I promise you. You're going to hear me smacking on every episode. But getting back to the story, granted, I get the man's frustration about someone eating his lunch. But dog, what? I know we never tell people to do violence, but if you're going to do wrong, do it right. One, why are you doing this at the place where you work? Two, why are you buying the equipment you're going to use for the said murder at the store where you work at?
They got good cameras.
And you got a paper trail and cameras of you buying it. Granted, I know you basically at that point basically said, fuck it. I know I'm going to jail, but he got to die. Like, this can't be the first time they've had beef. Like, it has to have been on site. Like, that must have been his nemesis at work. But I don't know. Does anybody have any other thoughts about this, Mr. Smith?
Like you said, the first question I asked was, does that technically make Target an accomplice to murder, since technically the murder weapons were bought at the store that the person was working at? But
Overall, like you said, I mean, don't get me wrong. Would I be mad that somebody ate my food? I would, but I wouldn't kill him. Now, he might have to shoot me to fade, and we might have to throw the ones outside where there's no cameras, but that's pretty much it. I ain't about to buy two knives and a hammer and be like, all my life I had to fight, and you took my wings, Harpo. You told him to beat me. Nah, I ain't doing that. I got way too much to lose. I'm not doing that. But I can't say I'm fully, I don't fully, I can't say that I don't understand him, because if I was in his shoes, I'd be pissed too, especially as you heard Teacher Bay. She was looking forward to those wings. And if you telling me something that you have been salivating over for hours, and you're like, I'm ready to, I'm a smack this shit down. And if somebody ate it, first of all, they ain't pay for it. So that's already your money. And anybody that knows me knows, you take my money, we gonna have some smoke in the city. There's gonna be some, as Brother X said, there's some furniture moving. Number two, if I'm the, I mean, not, I'm not saying that the person is not is excused, but for anybody, if it ain't yours, why are you touching it? Just go get your own, bro. You work at Target, or you're a gent, you work. If you don't got the money for the food that he has, hey man, they got some sardines in the back, they got some crackers, you can have some tuna. You know, I mean, if you want to really step it up, there's usually a Starbucks or some type of pizza place or Pizza Hut in Target. Go ahead and get you something, but stop taking other people's stuff. It is inconsiderate, and sometimes it may cost you your life, but that's not, I didn't say that. Again, I'm just drinking my water.
That's crazy. Couldn't it be me though? Yes, Teacher Bay.
I was just gonna say, well, same thing that you said, Bay, but just ask. If you want some of the food, you could have just asked them, like, can I taste that? It looks like it's real good or something. But just ask. But this also reminds me of the incident that just happened, well, that last year, where homegirl shot the other girl at McDonald's for the taking her sauce.
Oh, I
Yeah,
think
it's
I
like
remember
sweet and
that
sour
story.
sauce or something like that. Something
Okay.
on the same line. But it was over food, and it was over something so foolish, but now she's obviously sentenced to prison. And it's just like, just leave people's food alone. Just leave it alone.
And the last thing I'll say to that is, understand, folks, this ain't the 1990s. This ain't the 1980s. This ain't even the early 2000s. Nigga, food is expensive these days. All right, eggs cost $7. All right, so when you taking somebody food, that could be a smooth $25 plate. If it's my $25 plate, you buy my as Brother X, me and Drewski have always said, these hands is rated E for everybody. Anybody can get them. These are equal opportunity hands when it comes to my food.
Yeah, that's real. So I hope it was worth it, man. Because I'd be mad if it was over some bullshit like it was a bologna sandwich. Like, granted, that's his sandwich, but oh no, come on, dog. Come on, man. But moving on, man. In other news of like, come on, dog. Really? We're gonna talk about the Grammys real quick. We're not gonna go into too much detail because outside of maybe Teacher Bay, I think. I didn't watch the Grammys. Did you watch the Grammys?
No, but I sure I saw the next morning.
Oh yeah. I know Mrs. Smith ain't didn't watch it. But basically, there's a couple of things we want to first highlight. One, shout out to all the winners. Plenty of people. Like, I know one person I remember winning was J. Cole with Lil Durk for, I think, was melodic rap song or something like that. He got his second Grammy. Then you had a couple other performances. Shout out to Victoria Monet. She got hers. I don't have the full list in front of me, but shout out to everybody who was black who won. People still aren't giving certain people their flowers, but we'll get to that in a moment. But one person who won that night and won three Grammys was Killer Mike. The very, I'll say, interesting personality, music artist. He's been on Run the Jewels, Good Friends, did music with Outkast. He was part of that Atlanta music wave for a while, and he's kind of morphed himself into, I'll say, a black culture influencer in a sense. And basically what happened to him after winning his third Grammy, and I guess he was going backstage at some point, I forget where the Grammy's at again. Is it out in LA?
No.
Yeah. So wherever he was at, the police officers of that city actually came and arrested him after the Grammys. Now, granted, I don't follow Killer Mike well enough to know what exactly he was being arrested for, but I know this isn't the first time it happened to a celebrity after like an award show, but it's still very off-putting to see because in my mind, I'm like, if you knew he was going to be here ahead of time, why not arrest him before the show? Why not arrest them during one of the commercial breaks? Why not have them say to the people who are putting on the show, hey, he's going to be arrested. You need to go ahead and announce his win at another point, like how they do some awards at the beginning. Like the ESPYs will give like five or six awards out and they won't like have like an actual like announcement, like a person come to the stage. But yeah, so he was arrested. Now I don't believe he's still in custody yet, because I think he may have made bail, but I'm not too familiar, but it was just very interesting to see. Now, the more poignant, well, actually, let me give you this. Did anybody have anything about Killer Mike before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. Now, to the more poignant thing that caught myself, the culture scientist, and I'm sure everybody else that's on this episode, attention, was a Mr. Sean Carter. A Mr. S. Dot Carter. A Mr. Beyonce's husband. Jay-Z had some very choice awards after receiving, I guess it's the Dr. Dre Award, for lack of a better term. And he had a very big speech. I believe we played it at the beginning of this episode. So if we didn't, Mr. Smith, go ahead and edit that in post. But yeah, so you've heard it. And he basically spoke to a lot of things that was like, y'all playing about my wife. And I've seen very, y'all playing about my wife. She's been doing all these phenomenal things. She is like the artist of. For everybody on the podcast, she has been the artist of our generation. Now, whether or not she's the greatest artist of all time, that's up to your preference. But there's no doubting her quality. And we're talking about Beyonce if you're not familiar or aware at this point. And he was like, y'all play about my wife, and some of y'all don't even deserve to be in the club. Like, and you know, they don't come to any type of award shows. For him to show up, and for them to, in the same night, also not recognize his wife. Like, granted, his speech was before like Album of the Year and other awards that came out. But he was like, he already knew the bullshit was coming. He was like, stop playing with me.
Isn't it almost isn't it every year she's been snubbed that award?
Every time she's been up for the award, she's been snubbed.
Every year. And there was one year I was like, what? Like, there was one year I felt, and you know, I don't pay attention to this type of stuff, but
Right.
still, no, she deserved that one.
Because I believe she's lost to Taylor Swift before. I think it's twice now. She's lost to Harry Styles, I think it is.
Yeah, that's the one I was mad about.
Now, granted, again, I'm not familiar with this man's work, but again,
But again, Harry Styles, that little baby.
I mean, now Beyonce ain't old, but she ain't young either.
Right, but she's putting work to actually have the title. And
Yeah.
I am not a part of the Beehive. I'm just speaking
No, I mean, no,
from a
you're like,
true Destiny's Child fandom.
I mean, it's the same way I would say using a basketball analogy that, like, I am not the biggest LeBron James fan. That's Mr. Smith. But what I'm trying to say is that I recognize greatness from, like, even from a longevity standpoint, like, to do something at the level that you do it, the way that you do it, how you do it. Shout out to J. Cole. that you have to acknowledge it. Because you can tell the real niggas from the fraudulent niggas. Okay, that was the last one. I'm sorry. But
But he
yeah.
went, listen, that was what I woke up to on Insta that morning. And I said, oh,
Like he wasn't even mad.
oh.
He was one of those things who was like, dog, I promise you peasants are beneath me.
Look, I'm sorry, Blue. That was one of my favorite moments for you. You were standing up there like, Father. Okay, Daddy. Okay, Daddy.
Daddy, are we supposed to be saying this? Is this what we're
Is this what we're doing? Oh.
doing? All
Oh.
right.
Well, you always taught me to speak my mind.
It's like, well, now you realize whenever I do this, don't say nothing.
And I'm not gonna lie, I was confused by some of the memes. Because some of the memes was like, I was like, are y'all say that she was agreeing with him when talking about Beyonce,
Mm-hmm.
or were they all trying to make fun of her facial? I couldn't tell to some extent. I thought it was a mixture of everything.
Well, I promise you, it's almost like when you have a parent-teacher conference and the child is there and the parent is actually in the right for once, and they actually are like telling the teacher off and telling the admin off, and you just see the kids just awkwardly sitting there because the kid knows no matter what the parent says, the kids got to show up to school the next day and they got to deal with whatever results come from it.
Problem is, if I know that I'm in the right and my mother or my father is like showing out because they can, I'm gonna be like this, ha ha
But
ha,
you
I
know
was
Blue
right
can't,
anyway.
but Blue
I
can't do
was
the same
right.
thing because then they're gonna
Well,
take
I'm
some.
talking about
Oh, for the school
for
year. I got
Bae.
it.
No, I'm talking about her. I was talking about for Beyonce.
Fair enough.
She was standing there with that hat, like,
Y'all, she looked like fucking Doug
like
Dimmadome. I
kind of
do
like a.
not care.
I was saying like her facial expressions, everybody had her across the board.
She looked like she just came from straight off of the Oregon Trail.
She kind of gave me like a church mother vibe where she was looking, her facial expression was like,
Oh yeah, she was just came from a deep Southern Baptist church revival that
He
day.
said it, not me.
I'm about to say, I am too ladylike for that to happen. Now, if he speaks his mind and I agree with it.
That's like, you know what? That's like if it's me and how I often say things and you're in the behind and you're like, yeah, I'm not saying it,
Oh, very much so.
but
Listen, you need to understand. There is very, like, if you ever meet us, the person who will probably go off first is probably going to be the culture scientist.
Absolutely. Don't play with us. Don't play with me. Don't play with my friends.
But then if you ever hear me go off, that's a
That's
problem.
when you're in trouble.
Because it's not a matter of me being mad. It's me just like, I need to prove a point. And when I prove a point, ain't nobody happy. I about to say, is that.
But going back to the point, real quick, another question about the Grammys.
And then we
Is
want to
this
make
the
sure we get
same
Mr. Smith
thing?
in there, yeah.
Yes. Is this the same show when Kanye was on there when he told Taylor Swift, I'm gonna let you finish?
Yes.
Hello, Grammys,
Grammy's so white, man.
get your life. Get your life. Y'all have been told not once, not twice, but I think like three times now that y'all done messed up, especially on the Beyonce tip. So when you finally do give her award, she ain't gonna want it. She gonna be like, ugh, I'm gonna take it, but whatever.
It's like, I hope you don't think I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm so excited about it. I was like, no, it's deserved. I expect it. It should happen more often.
She should come up on the stage and like, about fucking time. Okay, I'm done. Mr. Smith, Teacher Bay.
Y'all have any thoughts? Yes.
I agree with the culture scientist. She should definitely do that. Because I mean, I think they feel like because they give her all the other awards and the other categories that it shouldn't matter. But you know that she had the best, record of the year, the best album of the year. So give it to her. But it's like they don't want a black person to win that award, is what it's coming off across. And so
Harry
I
Styles the best one. I'm sorry.
right, like you said, she put in time. She has put in time for these with these albums, and she has delivered. And so you need to respect that. But I do agree with the look. It looks like she agreed with what he said, but it's like, oh, we talked about it in private. I didn't know you was gonna say it out there. Like, okay, how am I gonna clean this up tomorrow? Because I still gotta work.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh man. Yeah, go ahead.
For me, again, listeners, you heard it at the beginning of the episode, but the part that made me laugh the most was when he said, some of you are going to go home tonight and feel like you've been robbed. Some of you may actually get robbed. And some of you don't even belong in the category. And I'm sorry. I saw that with Teacher Bae live. And the first thing I said was, oh, nigga, you let your black out. Like, yo. Like, what'd you say? Ooh, we said this in private. You ain't supposed to say that out loud. But at the same time, he's like, but you're not wrong though. Like, out
Right.
of
I'm gonna
all
say
the
it. I'm gonna say it. Baby, don't say it. I'm gonna say it. I promise you.
Right.
Because if I say it, I meant it, and you're gonna feel me.
Listen, it's like they practice. Now, what we gonna say if you win? And this is what they practice. And then when he got on stage, he said, ha 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 ha.
I'm gonna do what I want. Let me get my point across. Which, you know what? It's something I totally 1000% would do. So I'm all for it.
My question is, did he get the cootie cat that night?
He kind of.
I feel like he got to get the cat. That is guaranteed cootie cat.
He defended his wife. Mm. Not only did he defended his wife, he defended the culture.
Oh, yeah, no. I guarantee you. It was. I almost made a bad taste joke. I'm not even going to do that. I'm sorry.
No, I
can frame myself.
I'll clean it up for you. I'll clean it up for you. To answer your point before I finish my point, he made Beyonce redo that line. Driver, roll up the partition, please. You don't want to see Beyonce on her knees. That's what happened in that
car. Oh, yeah. They got it. Oh, he definitely got a separate car for Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy got another car. She's in another car. She's in the Escalade.
She hanging out with one of her friends.
Oh, matter of fact, she ain't even an age. She go when they go to the after party. She go home. So they was like, "Yeah, driver, take her home." And driver, roll out the partition, please. You don't want to see Beyonce on her knees. But no, I mean, he said it best. Out of everybody that has beaten Beyonce at Album of the Year, I can honestly only give it to one person that I at least was like, "Okay, if she had to lose to somebody, I'll take that." And that was Adele. And it's only because Adele to me, I'm like, all right, Adele's kind of like the little Joker. It's like, all right, I'll give it to you. That's fine. But like Culture Scientist and Teacher Bay said, nigga, Harry Styles, like, do you understand when Trevor Noah got that card and looked at it, you knew it was bad? Where he immediately was like, nope, went right to the fan and said, read this, because I'm not reading that shit. Even Harry was like, what? Even Adele said, yeah, Adele's face was every black mother when they had to go up to the school. It was literally, you got to be fucking kidding me. Again, that was Adele's face. So, I
mean, when Adele won, she was even like, now, when she won, well-deserved, like, 100%. Like, oh my gosh. But she can also, she probably also was like, oh my gosh. Like, she's a very humble person in that way. So, like, mm-hmm. I can imagine after that, why, when she saw, oh, wait a moment, okay, I understand when I won, but she still hasn't won? Oh my goodness. What?
Yeah, she said it in the acceptance speech. She said, I appreciate that y'all giving me this award, but Beyonce had the best album of this year, and I'm sorry, I'm a say, like, she said it on the acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, as, but again, it goes back to the appropriation thing I said in the Sports Center. Black people, we know. I say it all the time. The one that I said she should have won hands down was a self-titled album. Because I said, nigga, for you to shut down the internet, the entire internet for a whole night, for an album drop that you didn't promote, you didn't market, you didn't do nothing. And literally, that was all everybody was talking about for a whole weekend. And I will never forget it because I was in my first apartment and it was right after... I don't know if it was Scandal or How to Get Away with Murder. It was one of them too. As like literally, as soon as that episode went off, everybody was like, nigga, did iTunes just show Beyonce dropped the album? Wait, hold, wait. And all of a sudden it just spread like wildfire. When you can do that, you have some power. And even with some of the albums that I don't like, it's not for me. I'm not saying that it's not good bodies of work. It's just not for me. But between Lemonade, the self-title, Renaissance, and I'm missing one. There's at least three or four of those in there that I'm like, there, you like, come on now. Y'all ain't give her one of those, but you give Taylor Swift, who makes the same music every single album. She makes the same music. You gonna give her Album of the Year? I would have at least given it to SOS from SZA, because SZA's album stayed up in number one a good chunk of the year. And I would have, if you would have said that, I'd have been like, all right, I can rock with that. But again, every time we're like, all right, who's in, it's like, I hate to say it like this, Taylor Swift is like the Tom Brady of the Grammys. When you see her in the category, you're like, I don't even want to watch them. I already know who's going to win. Let's move on to the next thing. So yeah, let's just dead that, please. And Swifties, don't you even think about coming for me.
Don't come for us.
Please,
we'll stick the beehive on you.
Ma'am, I will throw salt in your food. Don't play with me.
Oh, no, 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 no. I ain't gonna handle it.
Man,
oh,
I will God. Throw some Old Bay in their food.
They don't know flavor.
Yeah, they don't. That swag circle was all nothing flavorful. But listen, I got some hot sauce in my bag if y'all try to come to my door.
That type of swag.
Yep. And black people, you know what kind of hot sauce I'm talking about. Play with me if you want to.
Yeah. All right. So now that we've got our thoughts out, we got one more interesting story. Mr. Smith, you want to take this one?
Sure. So this one is this one's a pretty funny one. The story reads, Florida mom banned from taking child to school over OnlyFans decal on her car.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yeah. So let's continue. Michelle Klein, who is also known as Piper Fawn on the subscription-based platform, told WPLG-TV that officials at Liberty Christian Preparatory School in Tavares told her she could no longer drop her children off at the school's main entrance because of the windshield-sized decal for the website she has on her car's back window. I was forced to have to, you know, take it off or not come on campus, Klein told the station, referring to her car's decal. And that one seemed like an easy thing to say for sure. But for me, you know, it supports my family. This provides a very comfortable way of life for us. And it's legal, you know. I just pay taxes. I pay taxes just like everyone else, but I'm not breaking a law. I just offended people. Klein said her OnlyFans link does not contain explicit content. The school's decision comes 2 years late, with the mother saying the sign has been on her vehicle for 2 years and says she feels that her kids are getting singled out. I'm going to leave the article right there, but I will say it's funny to me because it would be one thing if, like, all right, within like the first, I don't know, 2 months or so, it's like, all right, man, you can't be doing that. But y'all let this thing ride for 2 years. I'm gonna have to side with her on this one because that's not her fault that y'all ain't pay attention. And again, I understand it's kind of a little bit of fault on both sides. I would say maybe 70-30, 70 the school, 30 her, because she also has to understand it's like a negative connotation with anything. If you see OnlyFans, the first thing everyone's gonna think of is, oh, you do porn. Yeah, and yes, we all know that OnlyFans has a lot of different things on there. You have people that do cooking shows. You have people that do streaming. You have people that do a lot of stuff on there. But the main thing everybody knows OnlyFans for, thanks to the fact that a lot of the porn stars during the pandemic was doing it, was porn. Whether it was them getting naked, whether it was feet. I mean, a lot of people, when they were cooped up in the house, was getting into some interesting stuff, I will say. I was not one of them, but I've heard some
things. I was about to say, tell another lie.
Oh, nigga, please, no.
You was up at Fly's IG Live. I saw you.
Nah, because otherwise, I did a certain person that we cannot say anymore because he shot Meg in the foot's IG Live, but that was because of, I think, what was it, COVID Tuesdays or something radio. I forget what it was, but it was like first time radio, something like that. But so I get the negative connotation, but again, she did this for 2 years before y'all decided to catch it. At that point, I'm like, yo, so then what happened the other, you know, 730 days that I've been doing this? Because I had this on at that time and y'all ain't say nothing. And I'm pretty sure what happened was a kid say, ooh, daddy, look, what's that saying? Dad was like, oh man. Hold on. I'm going to have to tell the school, but first, let me go ahead and subscribe real quick. How much is it? $11.95. Let me go ahead and real quick. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, I'll leave it with this. Yes, it is definitely a way to make money and support your family, but also understand that because of the negative connotation, just like we said with the Amber Rose thing, your kids are going to have to fight that allegation. Like, they still got to go to school and be, and like we said, they get into a fight. All they're gonna say is, "Bro, you don't want to do that. I pay for your your mom's OnlyFans subscription. I can see her right now. What you want to do?" Then we got to throw the hands immediately. Just how principle, like, you ain't gonna disrespect my mom. We got to throw hands.
I'm about to say it's the same thing as if when we talked about previously about who was it? She used to be married to Wiz Khalifa.
I said Amber Rose.
You said that?
Yeah, I said Amber Rose.
Ambrose, okay, gotcha, yeah. My fault. Yes.
I mean, I get it, because I never really liked your mama jokes, so
I would be real sensitive if somebody could just have OnlyFans jokes ready to go
Yeah, it, yeah,
about my mama.
it's very much like, hey, you gotta recognize that, hey, you play the game. This is when it comes to territory, but you also be like, hey, it's very clear. You gotta understand, one, you can't really tell me what car I can and can't drive, technically, because I could pull up in another car, and if I have it on my shirt, you can't do nothing to me because that's on my body. And as long as you are not soliciting, there's really not a whole lot you can do. Now, granted, this is a private school, and you know, with certain private schools, they have other guidelines, we'll say, quotes, because I have my feelings about that. But yeah, it's ridiculous. But please, 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 I pray for that child that I really hope it doesn't actually contain explicit content and her not just saying that because, listen, I'm not gonna lie, she looked like she might do it on the low. She might be sending off some dry ass feet pics. Who knows? Teacher Bay, do you have any thoughts?
I do. Like I was saying, I guess it's not just that it's a private school, but it's a Christian private school. So you can't come rolling up in there, like you guys said, with your OnlyFans, decal and think that that's okay. Yes, it may have gotten overlooked a few times, but it's not what they stand for. And they do have a right to address that and bring it to your attention. But yeah, that's where I stand on that.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, that brings us to the end of now, mind you, but yeah, these are some crazy stories, man. And if we have any updates to these stories, we'll actually go ahead and make sure we bring that back to your attention. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes of things, man. This week, like we said, we talked about by the time you are hearing this, this is going to be dropping on Love Day, aka Valentine's Day, aka Bay Probate Day, as we've all said. And we thought it was very apropos to talk about Black romance movies. So before we get into some of these lists that we've pulled up for this episode, I want to get everybody's initial thoughts. Like, how do you feel about Black romance movies? Culture scientists?
I don't think we actually have a lot. Like, I mean, there's a lot, but there's not a lot. Like, compared to, you can even say rom-coms. If you want to include rom-coms into this, there are still more, there's lack of them. And you still have to decide. And I think we're still not really prepared for them. We're so used to our movies to be controversial, or they have to be a certain type of movie.
Like slave movie, struggle
Yeah.
movie.
And things like that. So like when we were looking at when I was going over the list, I was like, okay, yeah. And some of what they decided to include as love movies or as a black love movie included like you had to think outside of the box, like for brotherhood and for sisterhood. And yes, majority of them was man and woman. But still, it's like missing a whole bunch of opportunities I think that we could have, but it did put me down memory lane of some classics, I
Oh, I
will
agree.
say.
Mrs. Smith, Teacher Bay.
I kind of agree
I kind
with
of agree.
I kind of agree with the with culture scientists where it's like we have a good number, but it still doesn't feel like a lot, especially when it comes to like other races and other ethnicities. Like you can name a crap ton of romance movies like Made in Manhattan and all of that, like off the top of your head. But then when it comes to Black romance movies, it's like you start to think you're like, oh, that don't count. That don't count to that as well. And again, I think it's something that we're working towards where, and we'll probably bring that movie up later on, but where not everything has to be traumatic. Right, is a lot of times where like there's always some controversy or some traumatic thing that happens. Like, I mean, hell, we say it all the time, Color Purple, great book, but my God, that thing is toxic. So,
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
it's like it's always got to be some type of trauma in order for the story to grab traction. But there are Black romances that literally are just like, hey, I like you, you like me, and there's not an extra baby mama on the side or an ex-girlfriend that's, a stalker. Like, it's just that. And I mean, we'll mention it later, but I can mention this one right now. Nigga, The Photograph.
Yes.
That was just two people
Yes.
that was like, oh yeah, y'all feeling it. Y'all feeling it, feeling it. And yes, obviously there's the whole storyline behind it with the mom, but It was really just them. And I'm like, I like that. That's good.
And I agree. We don't have enough of our movies. They try to put a little sprinkle of melanin in some of these, rom-coms, but we don't have enough all black cast, black romance movies. And so hopefully we'll see more in the future. But I agree with everyone that has said. But I love romance. I love those type of movies. I'm here for it. I like my dramas, but I really love love. And I like comedy
Comedy.
too. So,
Yeah.
yes.
I think you guys have made a very excellent point with that. And I'll just kind of bring it home with that this piece. I think one of my favorite romance movies, you guys may or may not know it, it's called 300 Days of Summer. And in this movie, this guy goes through this whole 300 Days of Summer where he goes through this whole relationship romance and whatnot. And as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you guys talk about we don't have enough black romance movies. One thing that has come to mind was like, dog, why don't we just have some of these like generic ass storyline movies of black couples coming together? And I'll take it a step further. And let me be very real. I'm a very light-skinned man. It is what it is. That's who the culture ties is married. And literally, I need to see more dark-skinned male and female actresses having these relationships. I think one of the things we talked about it briefly was the photograph was you can see the natural skin tones and when it's shot correctly. One of the things that I have a love-hate relationship with certain rom-coms and like certain romantic movies is that if we have a black lead, there is a high percentage to make the movie more palatable for certain audiences where it's a interracial couple. Whether it is a black male with a female or another race female lead, or is a black female lead and is with a white man. And more times than not, it's usually someone of a fair skin tone. And you want to have all these different stories, but dog, just give me a dark, like Black of the Berry, the Sweet of the Juice love story between two dark skinned people. But
Or can we use something corny? We have there's
like,
a whole bunch of corny,
right. Corny,
dumb
cheesy, you
movies.
can turn on you don't have to think movie. And I think that speaks to the lighter, the bigger conversation of opportunities for black movies, but that's a whole nother conversation in and of itself. So with that being said, let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's kind of go through some of these lists of movies and we'll kind of share our thoughts. We don't have to share too much, but if there's any ones that kind of stick out to you, we'll definitely hit on. So the first one on this list, shout out to the website OprahDaily.com. For this article, shout out to you guys. One of the first movies that they had in this list was, and listeners, if you are an OG listener, if you remember, we had this conversation about the movie Malcolm and Marie. Now, at first, I had to think about it, and I'm like, is it really a romance movie per se?
Yeah.
Well, it is a couple who's arguing after an event and whatnot. I mean, and they argue.
Just toxic.
And I think we've all said it before. Where it was, I think, Mr. Smith, the thing you said or I said, it was one of those things where it's like, go to sleep. Like, do not continue having this argument. Go to sleep. If you don't go to sleep and talk about it in the morning, this movie would have been over in like maybe 10 minutes.
What I think I liked about this movie, and to your point of asking, was it, can you say this is a black romance movie? Yes, 100% it is a black romance movie. It plays onto, if you look at our counterparts, the movies that they have that are super, super intense. I can't think of a movie right
Oh, the
now.
breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Garner.
But that's more a light-hearted version of this.
You remember that the apartment scene where they're arguing?
Yes. So as I'm saying, this was the extreme version of that.
Okay.
They could have made it similar to the breakup, but they decided they wanted to go to the far, 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 far extreme of an argument for one night
Dog.
of everybody's
That
insecurities
shit
and
went on
feelings.
all night
Oh.
long.
So I think it was a good movie because it touched on a conversation. Were you in relationships in general of when should the conversation stop? Or is this a helpful conversation?
Are they actually showing love, or is this like past love and now just really just unhealthy stuff like that? So I think it played into love and like what other movies touch. It's just one of those very extremely intense movies
Agreed.
that if you are not in a, like, I can see why some people would not like this movie.
You're right. Mrs. Smith?
Two things. One, the person you were talking about was Jennifer Aniston, not Jennifer Garner.
Thank you.
Thank
For
you.
the breakup. The second thing, I personally related to this because in a previous relationship, long, long, long time ago, doesn't really matter because I went to teacher bay, but there was a time where we came back to the hotel room and we argued from 10:15 p.m. until 4 o'clock in the morning. And at least multiple times, I just kept saying, can I just go to sleep? Because this is not gonna go well. Nope, didn't matter. They just want to get all their thoughts out. I'm just like, God damn it. It's like it's a lose-lose. Either I go to sleep and I'm gonna hear it in the morning, or hear about it now, and I'm just like, I just tune out, like I don't want to be here. I want to be in a good place. Why am I not in a good place? So I can personally relate to the movie, like just what you say, go to sleep. Ain't
Yeah.
nothing good gonna come out of this.
Very true. I think we can move on unless
The teacher bay.
the teacher Ray, did you have anything you want to add?
Just that I agree with Culture Scientist that I also think it was a great movie to get a conversation going. I do like that take on it.
Gotcha. Now, this second one is Lovers Rock. Came out in 2020. I am not personally familiar with it. Is anybody else familiar with it? Okay, so in the fairness to the movie, and not to try to talk about something we're not knowledgeable on, white people, we're looking at you. We're just going to move past this movie, but please check it out wherever you can stream it. Now, this third one, Sylvie's Love. Only knowledge that I have of this movie is about the two main leads, because one is Nnamdi Asamoah. I think he used to, or he is still married to Kerry Washington. I'm not sure. And then you have my girl from Creed, Tessa Thompson.
This is on my list. I just have to be in the right headspace to watch it.
Oh yeah, and I think that speaks to a bigger point where it's like certain black love movies, you gotta really be in a certain mindset because it's like you do have that portion of where it's like there's other themes going along with a love story interwoven and everything. Have you guys seen this movie?
It's on Amazon Prime.
So if you want to check that one out, you can go to Amazon for that as well.
It's
I
on our
mainly want
watch
to watch.
list.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. Man, let me tell you right now. This next one, me and the culture scientist saw this in theaters for Valentine's Day. And it is still one of those movies where I'm like, it don't matter what I'm doing. If I see that is on television or on a streaming service, I will watch it at least once, maybe twice. Just because I love this movie so much, not only from like the scenery, the cinematography, and like this is a photographer's movie. And then the music is phenomenal. The movie I'm talking about, we've said it before, is The Photograph. Came out in 2020, which is still crazy to me. It's been that long ago. It feels like it was like at least 1 or 2 years ago.
I feel like you could put this in the category of those classic Caucasian romance movies where you're like, oh my gosh, it's just so sweet. And it's just
Whirlwind
portraying
romance.
the whirlwind romance and the subtle undertones that you just have to pay attention to. Unfortunately, us as a culture, I feel, really underrated this movie and did not
Give it his
appreciate
flowers. It's
it
they
for what
didn't.
it was worth. And I feel like it's gonna be one of these cult classics in the future, where in the far future, lots of people are gonna be like, oh my gosh, this movie was amazing because it was amazing when it first came out.
Right. Just for those who don't know, it is a movie about with Lakeith Stanfield and Issa Rae, where a reporter is talking to a curator of an art museum about the death of her mother, who's like a famous photographer, and how their story interwove with some of the life experiences the Issa's character had as well. Did y'all have any thoughts, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, the main thought I have is, like we said, when it comes to movie cinematography, all of that is made in this movie. But I'm gonna bring out one thing. Whoever was the person that did the lighting in this movie, my nigga, you nailed this thing because I'm sorry. Issa Rae in this specific picture we are looking at looks like she has flawless skin. Like, no bullshit. And yes, obviously we know the makeup and all that, but like literally.
There are a lot of times where TV shows, or whatever, will not do the lighting right for Black people. And the fact that this movie, like, at a certain point, you forget that you're watching a movie. You're just like, damn, like this, like these people just look like you're almost looking at real life, and even though it's a fictional, you know, obviously story, but you're just like, damn, this is fire. So whoever was the person who did the lighting on this one, bravo, man, you made us. I was like, I love being melanin. I love having a lot of melanin. It looks so good.
First off, the hair for
Dog.
the lighting. Listen,
Yo, like, I
listen.
just love there are so many different choices that they made, because shout out to Lil Rel, he was in the movie too. Him and his the person who played his wife, they were phenomenal as well. It was just so many great choices. Like, to me, this is my favorite this generation Black romance movie.
And if y'all don't know that Lakeith Stanfield is an amazing actor by now, y'all
Dog.
are just sleep on him.
Like
Like this picture right here speaks volumes of the movie
The way
and
he
both
looks at
of
her.
their acting prowls. I'm just saying, just
Like those very quiet moments. Like, I promise you, we could rave about this
all
the
day,
rest. We could have, honestly, we could have a whole
all
episode on it.
day.
Now, in the same realm,
Underappreciated
but
again
underappreciated, but
on the opposite spectrum.
from the other end, you got Queen and Slim. Now, I love this movie. This is another movie me and the culture scientist saw in the movie theater. I don't think it was for Valentine's Day. Definitely don't think it was Valentine's Day, but
No,
we
we
saw
saw
it.
a photograph of Valentine's
Yeah,
Day.
so we saw this, and basically it's another two other great dark-skinned Black actors and actress, Daniel Kaluuya and Jordy Turner Smith. And Miss Smith, you want to tell listeners about this movie?
They know what it is. Trust me,
Okay.
it's pretty much a ethnic version of Bonnie and Clyde, but it's basically out of necessity because of them being them having to go on a run because an officer was going to, what's the word I want to use? Black Lives Matter. And it just was not, it didn't work out the way they wanted to. And obviously they had to go on a run because, of course, as soon as a Black person does it, it's like a video game reference. If a white person does it, it's like, oh, okay, we'll give you a slap on the wrist. If a Black person does it, 5 stars on GTA. You get an army, the National Guard, everybody coming for that ass. And the thing that I just that again, it's been long enough. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. But whoever was that Black person,
You know what you did.
I was
You
ready to
know what
fight
you
you. I was
did.
ready to fight
So
you.
fucked up.
I was ready to fight you, bruh. That Black person at the end, I was like, come on. I felt like Boosie, come on now, dog. Come on, man. So
Not
I
again, not a spoiler alert, but they got so close.
Right. Like
Just
they I was about to say, one of the coldest lines that Daniel Kaluuya said in the movie when he was talking to Jody not near the end, but at one point where he's like, I think he asked a question, or they talked about, can you be my legacy? And when he responded and said, you already are, I promise you, if they weren't in a life and death situation, you know he was getting the cootie cat.
what I appreciated is about this movie goes to the point that Mr. Smith said about the photograph and a lot of things that we've already said. The cinematography in this movie,
Whoa.
phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
The random pictures of just the road of the desert just made you still, or the not even the desert,
Swamps and
the
like.
swamps and just the random pictures made you just appreciate, oh, what road they was on and what they were about. And then even their happy moments
Right.
during this turmoil of a road and event, it was beautiful just to watch and see. Again, it is one of those violent types of movies where you're like, oh, why does it have to end in violence or why does it have to start with violence? But at the same time, you have to look past the violence of this movie and see like the beautifulness of it. And that's what I like about it.
Yep.
I ain't never heard of this movie.
So the next one, another one is Premature 2019. I think, Mrs. Smith, you've seen this one, right? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different one. All right. Check that one out. We're going to keep
This
going.
one, yep, I've heard of it.
Another great one that I know but I have not seen is If Beale Street Could Talk. That's won plenty of awards. That's another great one. Moonlight. So this was the first interesting one that has won both. I think like it had Best Picture Award for Oscars, I think.
Yeah, they did great. I mean, they won a
Phenomenal. It
lot of
tells
awards.
a a gay couple, two males, as well as like a whole lot of stuff. If you haven't seen it, go watch it because I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but definitely check that one out. Southside with you. So
With
sorry about
Obama.
so listeners, I was telling Mr. Smith about this. Here is a little known fact for you, and this is gonna put things in a really funny but weird light. So the guy who plays a young Barack Obama in the movie, you may recognize his face if you've seen the show P-Valley and you've seen the first season. The dude who is getting lap dances and falling in love with the light-skinned stripper.
Down in the valley.
Yes, we can't sing too much or we're going to get copyrighted.
Suspect.
but basically, it is the same exact guy. And one other random fact that I found out when I went down a rabbit hole, I believe he is a member of Iota Phi Theta.
That's a song.
Yes. So there's that one. About last night, a little bit more of that romantic comedy feel. I think that was a really good one. Who were they? Those two weren't the lead. Kevin Hart and Regina Hall weren't the leads, but
No,
listeners,
they might as well been.
Mr. Smith has had this point last time we were
Maybe.
talking about it. They have like Kevin Hart and Regina Hall have some of the best comedic slash romantic on-screen chemistry.
That's because
Like,
she's mean. She's a mean. Her,
you feel like she's mean?
like she's like funny mean. Like she's like cute mean. Like
She's
me.
sarcastic mean.
Yeah, like me.
Oh, so you're projecting in a way.
I'm not projecting, I just recognize.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, this is one of my personal favorites.
Yes,
Beyond the
it
Lights. This is another one of those movies where it's not the greatest movie. It's very much played on like trying to cast the person as like a Rihanna-ish type woman. But Beyond the Lights is a really good one. It had Nate Parker, because I don't know why I called him something else the other night. But it's another great one. But yeah, that's just another one. Have any of you guys seen that one?
I've seen it with you.
Okay, you definitely have to
I
watch it
saw
with me.
that one.
Okay, cool. Obviously you got Think Like a Man. We'll talk about a few more. Let's keep scrolling. Let's see
Say
if we
read the book first.
that part. Okay. I'm gonna say something real quick. I wasn't the biggest fan of Jump in the Broom.
It was what it was.
It was okay, but you also it's also kind of what I talked about earlier, but I won't get into
There's a
that.
movie missing on all these lists that made me upset that's missing, but I'll tell you one of
All right,
mine.
so we can get to the end. All right, we're gonna keep scrolling, keep going. Right. Just Right. It was okay.
Yeah.
The fact that I cannot believe Common was a basketball player for the New Jersey Nets kind of took me out of the whole movie. But that's beside the point. Of course, we gotta talk about Why Did I Get Married? Listeners, you don't see it, but the picture they have is of Tyler Perry and his wife in the movie. And after the second one, I spoiler alerts, there's some level of fidelity in the second
She
movie.
rude.
Dog,
She a
I
bitch.
hated her for the longest time. What how she did Tyler Perry in this movie. If you don't know, just Google it. Why Did I Get Married to Infidelity or Cheating? You'll understand. See, this one I didn't really consider a
You consider this a romance movie? I see why they consider Daddy's Little Girls a romance movie.
I mean, there is some love in there, but it's really more about the father trying to
Well,
get
I
the
also
daughter.
want to shout out to all our classic Black actresses and actors that are always in all the same movies that we love to see them in. Gabrielle Union is one.
LL Cool J was in a bunch of them.
Taye Diggs,
Taye Diggs.
number two.
I mean,
And what's my girl? Sanaa Lathan.
dog.
What's up? All the classics. I just had to point out there.
Yes.
Nia Long, the crews. The
All right,
crew.
you
The
if you
crew.
if you are in the black community, you know which ones we're talking about. All right, we're gonna keep scrolling on and just stop me if there's one you want to talk about. We got okay, Deliver Us from Eva.
That was a good
Whoo!
one. That's a
Classic. Cause boy, when he
good
brought her that the baked beans,
That's my favorite.
that nigga did fold off the baked beans. I was like, oh yeah, he a real one. He a real one.
We say, Eva, stop bringing them devil ass baked beans to these cookouts.
Oh yeah, it played on a really good dynamic. It kind of set up the LL Cool or Gabrielle Union as a love interest, like the really strong opinionated. Yeah, she was there. Okay, Miss Smith, I know you want to talk. Was it this one or was it the other? No, it was. I think it was this one. Oh, brown sugar, yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, the movie was amazing. I just, again, the only part that I always will take to this movie was when a homeboy found his wife on a date in the restaurant, and he was just like, he was like, oh, my name is, I forgot what his name is in this movie. He was like, oh, I'm Brett. Oh, I'm Brett. He's like, do you guys know each other? Oh, funny thing, that's my wife. He's like, wait, wife? What? He's like, man, I didn't know. Oh, I mean, how could you know? I mean, she's not wearing the $15,000 ring I bought her. I was like, damn. Damn, you just really making this bad. He said, "Bart, waiter, let me get a bottle of your most expensive champagne because we're celebrating what? Ding ding, my divorce." I was like, "Hey, thanks, bravo."
Using, I didn't know you had it in you. I really did not think you had it in you.
The way he did that though with the modifier was amazing.
Oh man, yes.
But for real though, when did you first fall in love with hip hop?
Ooh.
I just like saying it.
It was nothing like my first time.
Listen,
It was in my math class.
Brown Sugar for me is one of my favorite forever classics. And then I was gonna say this: if you ever ask me, if you ever ask me what my favorite movie is, I'm always gonna tell you. It's always gonna be the really sad movies, The Color Purple, and Loving Basketball, son.
Okay. Now I'm glad you brought that up.
Loving
I'm
Basketball.
glad you brought that up because I have this one point.
Sure.
Someone posted, and Mr. Smith, you know where I'm going with this. Someone posted on social media the other day about the reality of Loving Basketball. Here's how crazy it sounds. So, Coach of Scientist, I need you to listen to this.
Tell me why.
Oh, so she's singing. Listen, she's singing. I
Tell
just gotta let her.
me.
I
Listen,
gotta
my
let her.
heart hurt during that time. I said, how dare you do that
Oh,
to
wait,
me?
no, 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 no. I'm about to say. So, Coach Scientist, I'm gonna give you a scenario. I need you to get in the mindset. Okay, so get right here. You're listening. So it is a, we'll say it's a Friday night, maybe about 11:30, almost midnight, and we're at the house. We chilling. Like, we just finished watching the movie. We had some popcorn, some wine. You went to sleep. And you hear a car pull up, and it's my ex. She pull up in the driveway trying to come and talk to me. And then you just happen to hear a conversation. You hear my ex say she wants to play me in a game of video games for my heart. What would you do, or how would you feel if you went back to sleep and woke up at like 2 in the morning and heard me and her playing video games for my heart? What would you
First off, there is no me going back to sleep.
do?
Tyra Banks was just a dumb broad
Really?
in this scenario, in the movie. Now, was she in the right? No. Should she have asked him to play one-on-one for his heart? Absolutely not. However, she did. And did he play? Yes, he did.
Doug, I promise you, my
So
man,
who's really in the wrong? Him or her?
both,
They both in the wrong.
both,
But
both,
then, if you hear this person come to your door, why the fuck would you go back to sleep?
Mrs. Smith, go ahead.
I'm gonna say it for everybody. Movie is toxic as hell. And furthermore,
My favorite movie. Mine too.
how the hell they live off of her salary as a WNBA player? This nigga played one game for the Lakers and blew out his knee. There's no way they made that thing work in LA with a kid on her salary alone. That man ain't do nothing else but ball. So when he tried to keep rehabbing, whatever, and then he became a family man at the end, come on, fam. Toxic as hell. Just too much. Too
Yeah.
much.
So a couple more, and that I'm looked
Hold
up
on,
the
hold
list.
on.
Yes.
Just to your toxic point. The most toxic point about it was the fact that she lost to the game, and then he said basically double or nothing. Bitch, you fucked with my husband.
Nah, he didn't just beat her. When he got back into it and he yammed that shit, I'm like, yeah, nah, it's over.
No, listen, maybe, listen.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This
Go ahead.
movie
No, go
came
ahead.
out in what, 2000? So I was 10, 11, okay? Listen, again, I
Naive.
100% admit that this movie is toxic. And this could have been for many of us young women where we did not understand the meaning of the emotional abuse. Okay? That's what he did in this movie. And I admit, And I done so, there's times where I was under emotional abuse. So, just point out. But this movie is still great, in the long run.
Gotcha. Okay, just for time's sake, I'm just going to highlight some of these other ones.
The Best Man, amazing. You know
I'm
what's
about to say
amazing.
whole run of it. If you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? You got Alcell got a groove back. Love Jones is another one. That poetry scene, boy, he knew what he was
I
doing.
just want to say that Lorenz Tate, he ain't aging.
Hey, neither is Nia Long. But we're not talking about that right now. Waiting to Exhale. Whoo! All right. That was a good one. Last couple of like Jason's lyric on there, I'll say is that nigga was running rolling around in a field of flowers, butt ass naked. But we're not talking about that either. Poetic Justice.
Teacher
Mrs.
Bay's
Smith,
favorite
you have a
movie.
mom.
Teacher
Who's
Bay's
favorite
favorite.
movie?
Teacher
It's
Bay.
my favorite. I watch it all the time. Got the DVD.
She does.
Oh
I'm
man.
sorry. Having Regina King say, "That's right, brush that weak ass fade, Lucky." Classic scene.
Yeah. So
I
I
love
mean,
Tupac.
yeah, you got that one. You got a couple other ones, Boomerang. But there's other ones that we haven't talked about. Like I know one that was on the list. My favorite that I consider a black romance is Intergalactic. Is an animated one that just came out like 1 or 2 years ago
Oh,
with
yeah.
is it not was it Kid Cudi that played the guy? I think so. But that's definitely one of the best ones. But I mean, at this point, listen, we've
I
run
feel
through so
like.
many of them that it does bring me to a question though.
Oh, wait. Last Holiday should have been on this list.
Well, I mean, I think when you say that one movie kind of like all like adds up together, you know?
I like Last Holiday.
So you just wanted to put that out
It
there.
should have been on there instead of Just Right.
I'm about to say, well, I mean, we knew. Well, I mean, it's kind of like you pick one, you pick the whole line.
Whatever.
So with all this, and I want to kind of wrap this up because I know we've gotten into very much,
The wood.
yes, we've gotten into very much detail. My question to you guys, and we can kind of wrap it up after this, is I know we said some of the ones we like, but what would you classify for our generation? So roughly, we'll say about from about 2000. We can start with 2000 and go to now. What would you consider either classics of our generation or soon to be classics of our generation that we've talked about or we haven't talked about?
Love and Basketball, The Wood.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Two Can Play That Game and The Photograph.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that. The Photograph definitely. As much as I really want to say Queen of Slim, that is such a heavy movie that it is very interesting that they were still able to carry the romantic elements with all the other pieces of said movie.
That's just like, so Queen of Slim and Malcolm and Marie are not, I don't think they're ever gonna be the way that we like them to be because they're too heavy.
Right. So I think that they're good movies.
Was that the
Yes.
Napoli Ever After? I guess.
Happily Ever After. I don't know if it was a classic, but it was a very interesting concept.
Oh, my classic for me, always forever brown sugar.
Okay. But we're talking about this generation, like our generation.
I mean, that is a joke. You asked from
Well, I'm talking about
2000.
when did Brown Sugar come out again? So I could have sworn, was it like 98?
Pretty sure it was in the thousands. I could be wrong.
I'm about to say,
I feel like it was in
I'm about to say,
2000 because
listeners,
that
let us.
had a
I'm about to say, listeners,
RCD.
let us know in the comments as well, because. Oh no, you're right. It was 2002. I'm sorry.
Because back then, that's when my mama was burning DVDs and shit.
Oh, your mom was on LimeWire.
Or she had connects and shit.
Oh, sure, her connects at LimeWire.
She had mad connects. I always had DVDs, okay?
Okay, but Tisha Bay, you said yours, right?
I did. I like Deliverance from Eva, so I feel like that would be there. You guys already said Two Can Play That Game. I know Poetic Justice is more like the 90s, so I'll leave that one. But we didn't talk about Really Love. That's the one that we saw about DC couple about Black Love, and it's kind of very similar to the Photograph in a way with the Black Love that they were displaying.
And again, phenomenal ass lighting. That's all I'm gonna say. That lighting was beautiful.
Yeah, I
Oh
thought
yeah.
it was really real.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I think what we are taking away from all this conversation is that there has been great examples of it. We do feel like there a lot of great work has been done, but there's also room for more work to be done and to allow for cheesy stories, corny stories, not super in-depth, like life-changing sources, allow for more stories to be told of Black love where there isn't struggle attached to it, where it isn't infidelity attached to it, where it isn't stereotypical.
And community, give it a chance. Give
Like,
it a chance. Don't be mad because it's not what you expect it to be right off bat.
and understand that we, in order to be in the door, we need space for not just for home runs. We need singles. We need doubles. We need triples. We need all these things to allow for there to be space for more creators to create stories that are truer to what we may experience. Because the reason why a lot of these stories happen is because to certain people in Hollywood and other places, they believe that's all that sells. So we have to support with our wallets and support by Vic going to the movie theaters and buying the movies and supporting them, all those things, in order for that to happen. So that's really just the transparent moment. Support Black movie creators when they have these movies come out. Even if it's not on a major streaming platform. I know Black people, we as a whole joke on Tubi, but there are a lot of people who are creating content, their own content out there for people to enjoy and for them to get out there. And it is okay that it's not the greatest. It's just putting it out there. It's like podcasting. Not everybody's going to have the Joe Budden podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast, all these things. Just putting content out there is allowing people to have their own voice and allows more people to be invited to the table for conversations, you know? But with that being said, we're going to close this episode out. You can always hit us up on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube. And you can always hit us up with your thoughts about your favorite Black romance movie at our email at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for the culture scientists, for Mr. Smith, for Teacher Bay, and for myself, for all of our lovers and supporters of the podcast, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And in the immortal words of my father, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Peace.
Happy Valentine's Day, y'all. Go get you some.
Mm.